Hello and welcome to Developing Perspective. Developing Perspective is a podcast discussing news of note in iOS development, Apple, and the like. I'm your host, David Smith. I'm an independent iOS and Mac developer based in Herne, Virginia. This is show number 127, and today is Thursday, May 30th. Developing Perspective is never longer than 15 minutes, so let's get started. All right, so for today I'm going to talk about, iOS 7, generally. I'm going to kind of throw my hat into the circle of speculation, prediction, prognostication, wishful thinking, whatever you want to call it, that we tend to do right around big new announcements. We definitely know it's coming. It's been announced both in the press releases. Tim Cook at the All Things D conference was talking about it. We definitely know iOS 7 is coming. And these are just some of the thoughts that I've been having as I think about it, as someone who makes makes apps on as my living, and some of the things that I'm worried about, some of the things I'm hopeful about, and we'll see. The first thing I want to say is I was thinking about this, and the more and more I hear about how iOS 7 is going to have a dramatic or will have a significant visual update in the way that it looks, in the way that potentially that it feels, but definitely in the way that it looks, that makes me hope that Apple takes full advantage of that in terms of allowing them to go big in terms of some of the broader changes that they can make. And the reason for that, I say, is if the fundamental visual appearance of the OS is changing, that I think will sort of create an environment where a lot of people need to go iOS 7 only fairly quickly, in a way that is different than a lot of the other updates, iOS 6 or those types of things. There were changes. I remember when the UI switch went from, being somewhat square to being rounded. Like, those types of changes are, visual. They could be significant potentially if your layout was very, very specific to it. But generally speaking, they're not that bad. But if Apple is going to come in here and make these massive changes to the visual appearance of the application, it'll become very difficult to support both the old and the new potentially. In terms of if your UI is based and laid out and structured, assuming a certain kind of style and flavor, that interspersing different UI elements between the two will be kind of complicated. And so if you have any part of your app that isn't completely native, it could look very out of place, either if you design for iOS 7 and then it's run on iOS 6, or conversely, if you run an iOS 6 app on iOS 7. And so my gut says there's going to be a bit more of a push for, or where people feel like they need to go iOS 7 only very quickly. And I think that'll create a great opportunity for Apple where they can, I think, go a bit bigger with the changes they make and kind of riding on that adoption curve, that there's likely going to be that kind of a push, and so they can do a bit more. And I hope they do. I hope they take advantage of that, and I hope that works out, as we would expect. Definitely, if anyone you know for a long time, I've collected iOS version stats, for my audiobooks app, which has the widest audience, and so it gets pretty good sense. And I will say it was quite impressive that the adoption rate that iOS has these days. I mean, you can get very solid, greater than 50%, 60% adoption of a new OS pushed out with over-the-air updates within a couple of weeks. And so I think generally speaking, the prospect of going iOS 7 only early is much more likely now than it would be otherwise. And so that's just something that I was thinking about, that those two things may actually play together well, that the big UI overhaul could force larger iOS 7-only adoption, and so on. And so that's kind of an interesting thing. The thing I'm most curious about there is to see what devices they support iOS 7 with. And so that's kind of an interesting question. My guess is they'll drop the 3GS and then go iPhone 4, 4S, iPhone 5, and probably the 4th and 5th gen iPod Touch, something like that, which is interesting because, of course, on the handset side, that's all Retina devices, and then there's still obviously non-Retina devices on the iPad, but it's kind of interesting that it may end up in that world. And in terms of the actual visual changes and things that they're doing, I don't really have too strong of an opinion about that. I think people who understand and know this stuff better than I do will make better choices. I'm sure, and the reality is hearing that something is like, say it's more flat, it's more monochrome, whatever that is entirely kind of irrelevant until you actually see it. Because describing something visually, you can vaguely have a sense of if it's good or not, but it's entirely up to execution, what it actually looks like, what it actually feels like. There are a few things that I'm hopeful for. I hope that it feels natural, that it's not something that's going to confuse people. It's that, you know, that someone who's been using the old system won't be confused on the new one. But generally speaking, Apple is pretty good on that kind of stuff. And I doubt it's going to be some radical, everything's upside down. It's a totally new interface. It's a totally new everything. It'll just be the old thing, but just updated and better. Some other things that I'm hoping for in iOS 7, and just generally, these are kind of the things that we're starting to get into. I think most people go through their wants, their wishes, and the things that they kind of always throw out there but never really expect to happen. So something that I hope in iOS 6, or iOS 7, is a more pervasive use of blocks. I think we've been seeing a strong progression for this over time in iOS since, I guess, iOS 4 when blocks were first introduced. But I think there's a lot of places where it'd make a lot of sense, but they're still not in there. The classic ones are things like UI alert views and action sheets and those types of places where there's a lot of – it kind of – anytime you see that there's a lot of activity on the open source side of people building libraries to create that behavior is usually a pretty good indication that it's something that I think that they should adopt and they should be sort of moving towards. And I think especially in those cases, it makes the code so much better that if there's a lot of these places where you're attaching – actions and methods to buttons, doing that with a block-based thing makes a lot of sense. So I hope we see a lot more pervasive blocks. I hope that we see, and then related to that, I hope we see a much better networking interface stack. It's something that I always think is kind of funny, that it seems like the de facto standard right now is that it seems like the vast majority of projects use something like AF networking. For their network communication, not everybody, but I'd say it's a significant percentage of code in the store right now is running something like AF networking or an equivalent kind of networking stack on top of it. And that's the same kind of way. That makes me think that Apple is missing something there, that it would be much better if the OS provided a richer, more robust networking stack beyond just kind of what they provide now with NSURL connection. The networking is probably one of the most common actions across all applications. You know, there's very few applications now that do nothing with a network request, that should really benefit from an overhaul that could be made more robust, given a richer API, it's funny because it's not that I necessarily needs to do more, because obviously AF networking is built on top of it. But I think a lot of it is to wrap up the common operations, the common problems, the common issues, especially in a mobile environment where networking connectivity can come and go, in something that's a bit more robust and a bit more easy to use in a powerful way. I'd also be interested to see Apple introduce slightly better, some new UI paradigms at an OS level. And this is something that I've been thinking about a little bit in terms of, say, like the massive explosion of this sort of the sidebar, side drawer navigation approach, where rather than having a tab bar, which can only have up to maybe four, five, or six items in it, you have the hamburger button in the top left that swipes out, and you have a drawer there with all kinds of other options and navigations. Something like that, I think, would be interesting for them to introduce at an OS level, whether that's that exact paradigm or something that accomplishes the same goal. I think it would be good generally, the more kind of standardization that can come out of this would be good in terms of, it's like when the app, when iOS first launched, and I guess iPhone SDK or the iPhone SDK in 2, or even just in iOS or iPhone OS 1, we've had the same basic navigation parameter styles, UI navigation controller and UI tab bar controller that work. But I feel like there's something that could be refreshed and improved there to create something a bit more, just something different that kind of give it a freshness. And it'd be great if it was built at the OS level, I think, and to allow to be able to take advantage natively and have a common experience across all applications with some new navigation paradigms. And I could see them definitely bringing those types of things into some of their own applications, like mail, if it comes to mind, or messages, where it feels like the navigation controller can feel a little heavy, where you're constantly going back, forward. It's kind of, you could imagine some much better UI paradigms potentially there with stacks and drawers and stuff. So anyway, this is something that I've been thinking about that I think would be great to see them doing, and to kind of be pushing and driving in that direction, so that rather than now where kind of everyone's going off in their own direction, the Apple can kind of maybe focus that attention back down, and the user experience could likely improve as a result, because then there's a much more common set of experiences that people are used to. And then lastly, I think one thing I'd love is, I mean, it's like every year there's going to be new improvements to Xcode. You know, Xcode is kind of where I make my living, and I think a lot of you make your living. You're spending a lot of time in there, and any improvements and changes that can happen there are certainly always appreciated. You know, things that can make me more productive as a developer is always appreciated and great. You know, this is the kind of thing that every time, I always love going to the LLVM talk. Most of it I don't use is over my head, but I love just kind of hearing all the stuff that they're doing there to make it faster, to make it better. There's all these things where they can – having good tools can give people productivity for free in some ways. And that's something I always love, is that, you know, as someone who makes my living doing this, if Apple can make some changes to their, you know, their – to their tool set that just increases, you know, my ability to get my job done, that's great. You know, even the simple stuff, like it seems like with LLVM, they're always making it faster and more streamlined and faster and faster and faster. And so if I can install a new version of Xcode and all my compilations take 10% less time, that's great. That's like a free benefit for me. And so I expect we'll see a lot of those. Generally speaking, in terms of the actual layout and structure, I've gotten used to it, and I'm pretty happy with the overall structure of Xcode. There's always the niggling things that aren't quite like I'd like them, but generally it's pretty good in structure. What I would like to see though is if they can take to the next level and to help me to write better code. It would be something that I'd love to see more of. And they've been heading this direction with Analyze, with the static analysis tools, with some of the things they do in instruments and so on. But I think there's two parts of that I think I'd love to see. And one of them, I think, would be integrating instruments more tightly with Xcode itself, in terms of allowing... Right now, there's always this funny thing where if I want to go off and do the analysis side of things, I have to... I feel like I'm context switching off into this other thing, and it's a separate activity and it's a separate place. I feel like it would be great if there was a bit more of a tighter integration there. That it's kind of, if I'm running in the simulator, it's just always running the basic analysis tools. Or by default, they're being displayed as part of the application. And those types of things that I think you could, or I mean, even there, when I think about it, there's a lot of things that I think it could do during debugging that could be very helpful. That, you know, if it's running its cycle detector, for example, you know, for memory cycles and retain cycles, it's like it's just running that all the time when you're debugging, or it's doing it in such a way that it's just running in the background, and you can. But anytime it detects a cycle, it logs out to the console and says, "Hey, I found a loop here. Maybe you should go look at it." Kind of being more proactive about it. And obviously you can turn these things off and, you know, blah, 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 in terms of it doesn't have to be on all the time. But I would love if I could just kind of set up my environment so that there's all these things watching what I'm doing to try and catch issues and bugs before I have to know, I have to actually go track them down and look for them. Because typically there's a certain class of problems that could just be solved that way. Another one that I think of is, and I believe there's actually a way to do this in Android development, but it would be great if there was, you know, sort of flags when you're debugging that you can set that anytime, for example, the main thread blocks, it puts up a big warning in your console and says, oh, you know, you just blocked the main thread on this, you know, here's the function you called, and this blocked the main thread. Don't do that. Or those types of things where you can help me write better code by watching what I'm doing, watching the application run, and be proactive about telling me about problems rather than me having to go and find them. And that's obviously that's the next level. That's the next level of tool beyond just allowing me to build it in the first place. And then, you know, static analysis or those types of tools, which are great in terms of telling me at a high level, kind of here's some things that don't look quite right, to be able to actually sort of the dynamic analysis, I guess. So rather than just the static looking at my code, actually looking at the application running. And so those are some of the things that I've been thinking about. Those are kind of things I'm hopeful for. Generally speaking, I'm excited about it. This time of year, I always find that I get kind of sad. I'm not sad. I get a little bit worn down, a little bit, it's like a little bit rough in terms of keeping motivated, keeping engaged. And so I always like going to WWDC, having something new, having something fresh, having something exciting to sort of wrap my head around and dive into. And so I'm excited about WWDC in 2 weeks. And I look forward to seeing a lot of you there. Anyway, that's it for today's show. As always, if you have questions, comments, concerns, compliments, complaints, I'm on Twitter at @_DavidSmith. I'm on AppNet @DavidSmith. If you want to email me, david@developingperspective.com. And otherwise, if you have a great week, weekend, happy coding. I'll talk to you later. Bye.